Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 119, nobody better to talk about than Jesus Christ. Psalm 119 is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's unique. It is in the numerical middle of the Bible. It is the longest chapter in the Word of God, 176 verses. There are 20 paragraphs of 8 verses each, and it's an acronym where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet begins each of these paragraphs. The tone grows from enthusiasm of youth to wisdom of maturity as you work through the 176 verses. There's one theme all the way through: the supremacy and the authenticity of the Word of God. God's Word is mentioned in almost every verse of the 176 verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful. Psalm 119 and verse 89 tells us that Scripture is settled. Isaiah and chapter 40 and verse 8 says forever. It's forever. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God endureth forever. You say, preacher, why are you mentioning this morning? Because it seems like nobody else is saying it anymore. It seems like there's a drift. It appears to me, I'm talking about in the Church of Jesus Christ, all across America, the casual attitude is taking over, where we really don't think we need the Word of God. We really don't think we need, there's a famine of the Word of God in America today. That being said, we've got more Bibles in print than we have ever had. But it's like nobody's reading it. It's like nobody's heeding. Nobody's paying any attention. Theologically, for the record, I believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Scripture. I believe that we have in our hands the preserved Word of God. It is a roadmap. It is an anchor. It is a love letter to man. It is God manifesting Himself. And if we could just get a little bit about what Pastor Bill read this morning for the text. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the beginning of Psalm 119, but go over to verse 97 for just a moment. Psalm 119 and verse 97. If our heart could sing with David these words that he wrote, I mean, if it could be reality in our lives. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You understand what David says? Oh, how I love thy law. I get more understanding. I understand more than the ancients. I understand more because of the presence of God's word in my life. Let's stand one more time. One more time, please, and let me read just a couple more verses. God in heaven, would you bless this morning, this message? Bless it wherever it's going to be broadcast, on radio stations and on the internet. And Lord Jesus, we pray that right here in the auditorium this morning, you do a great work. May we fall in love with the book. Oh God, it needs to be preached. God, it needs to be understood. We take it far too casual. Lord, we're drifting away in too many areas from the Word of God as a nation, as a people. And it's like we, as a nation, we've lost our anchor. God, I pray for every born-again believer here at Fundamental Baptist Church, everyone here in the auditorium this morning, may we cling to the Word of God. May we stand with both feet in Scripture and understand that You're there for us. God, we just need to be faithful. Please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a great day to be a child of God. It's a great day to know the firm and loving hand of God. Man, it is great to go to church with Sunday go-to-meeting kind of loving brothers and sisters. It is great to have happy singing. It is great to be evangelistic. It's great to hear the Word of God preached and taught the way it ought to be preached and the way it ought to be taught. And I look forward to Sunday, and Sunday's just a wonderful day, first day of the week. But then Monday comes around, and it's Monday through Saturday, and it's a struggle. And sometimes the connection, we kind of lose our way along the way. And that's really what I want to preach on this morning. I'm not just shooting in the dark. I want us to get to the place where we understand we have got to be in the book. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that said, if I can just get my people to read their Bibles every day, my ministry will have been a success. Man, I could echo that. If all of us had just become students of the Word of God, then all I got to do as a pastor is stand up in the pulpit and just kind of spill it out and encourage you a little bit, and you're already getting the meat of God's Word. It's already in you. You're already connected, and you're going to be ready for life. That great philosopher of modern day history, his name was Mike Tyson. He said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And then the plan kind of goes out the window. And isn't that true? Isn't that just so true with so many New Testament Christians? Man, I know Jesus. Jesus loves me. I know all the words. Man, I know all the words, all the hymns. I know what the Word of God says. But as soon as I get punched in the end of the nose, the plan's out the window. I know what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it and where I'm supposed to go. But then life happens, and it's out the window. Look what it says here in Psalm 119, verse 1. By the way, did I tell you that this book is God's book? And it's dark, and you aren't going to make it without the Bible. I'll tell you this. You may not be getting much Bible. You're getting some Bible somewhere from somehow, and a little bit's kind of soaking into your head. You're into your little pea brain, and you're able to just kind of bounce through life. There's a better way. There's a better way. Man, if you just follow the precepts of the Word of God, that's what Psalm 119 is all about. Psalm 119, the psalmist is saying, man, we're all supposed to be Bible fundamentalists. He's saying we're all supposed to be biblicists. We're all supposed to be people that follow the book. If you would fall in love with the Bible, you'll fall in love with Christ. Amen. Because from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, all 66 books that make up the canon, there's a scarlet thread. It's all about Jesus. The Bible is God manifesting Himself. Amen. The Bible was not written for our academic curiosity. The Bible was written to manifest God. The Bible was written so that mankind would understand who God is, and He would fortify us. And He does, and He strengthens us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look what it says, just the first 8 verses, first of all. It says, blessed are the undefiled, those without blemish. Blessed. We're blessed. We are blessed of God. Never a week goes by where someone isn't getting born again here. Never a week goes by except God is doing things behind the scenes. Yesterday, we got a brand new toilet in the building, in this building right here. And you say, that's a blessing? Yes, it is. If you'd have known anything about that old toilet and how many times we had to go ahead and rent the Roto-Rooter and how nasty that is, you would know that it is a blessing to have this super flush toilet. You say, Pastor, where is that super flush toilet? You're going to have to explore. You'll find out where it is. Some of you know exactly where it is. I was standing in Lowe's, and I was looking at the $100 toilets, and I was looking at the $225 toilets, and being the man, the pastor that I am, I was reaching for the $100 toilet, and then it occurred to me, every time, and this one was flush a bucket of golf balls, and every time we rent the Roto-Rooter, it's $50 from Parker's Hardware in the Sioux, and I'm thinking, and then it's a drive up there, and how nasty it is. I think we ought to spend the extra $100. And so that's, we got it. We're blessed. We are blessed. The fact is, in reality, we are blessed of God. We said, blessed are the undefiled.
undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's where we're supposed to be. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I respect have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Listen to what David says. We're blessed. We keep his testimonies. We seek him with our whole heart. We walk in his ways. We're not ashamed. We praise him with an upright heart. We keep thy statutes. Man, that's good. That's exactly where we're supposed to be. But how? Because sooner or later, Monday morning comes. Maybe Monday comes on Sunday afternoon. And right away, somebody's punched you in the nose again. And now how am I supposed to do this? And I titled this message, Lord, I Need Help. Can you relate to that? I hear what Pastor Rader's preaching, man. That's good stuff, and that's right, and I get it here. Every Sunday, boy, glory to God for that. But then Monday happens. And then Wednesday. And then Friday night and Saturday morning and Sunday night, and things are going wrong all of the time. There's eight things here I want to share with you, and it's verses 9 through 16. Not original with me, of course. This is the Word of God, and this is how you're going to be used of God. And believe me, it is worth it to follow God. Amen. Rags to riches, heartaches to heaven, a spiritual pauper to a child of the King. I trade all this world for Jesus and eternity. The blessings of God here in this world. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's here in this world. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's in the next world. Man, God meets God. God covers all the bases. But Pastor, how? How am I going to do it? And again, I want to say this before, and this will be a quick message. You got to know this. You aren't going to make it without your Bible. Amen. You aren't going to make it without the Word of God. You can't have a casual relationship. If you have a casual relationship with the Scriptures, that's the way your life is going to be. And you're going to bounce off this wall and into that brick wall, and you're going to fall into that pit, and it's going to be, God's going to guide you along, but you're going to bounce through life instead of being blessed through life. So you've got to develop a relationship with the Word of God. In doing so, I promise you, and this is what the psalmist said, you will develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, here's the authority. The Bible is authentic. It is authoritative. And it is absolute. You don't have to follow Pastor Tim Rader. There may be some things that I'll share from time to time that isn't exactly, and maybe it's a little more than Scripture. Maybe I didn't see something. Maybe I'm learning something. But the fact is, the Bible is the Bible. And not every sin is mentioned in the Bible. So quit covering your sin. It's like, your little boy and your dad says, your mom says, listen, no cooking, no using the oven while we're gone. We're going to trust you for a few hours. And they take off. Well, he said we couldn't use the oven, but he didn't say anything about having a weenie roast in the living room. We could build a bonfire in there. And you see, it wasn't necessarily mentioned. You know, if God had to mention every sin that man could come up with, our Bibles would be so big we wouldn't be able to carry them around in a Mack truck. The fact is, there are Bible principles from Genesis to Revelation, and we're supposed to honor God. Number one, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Number one, we need to be clean. In order to have God's blessing, in order to make it successfully in life, there's got to be a regular cleansing where we confess our sins before God, and he forgives us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. My grandma used to make great homemade bread. I haven't had homemade bread since that compared. She was a little Norwegian. Actually, her name was Bauer. And boy, she could make sticky buns. Glenda, right on par with yours, all right? Sticky buns, the homemade bread. She'd butter it up. Homemade bread was better than candy at our house, absolutely, when Grandma was cooking. And I remember she used to knead that bread and work that dough. Man, it was a lot of hard work. I'd come in and say, Grandma, can I help? Because I looked pretty exciting when I was in grade school. And she'd say, show me your hands. And like a little fifth grade boy, my hands were always dirty, my little meaty fingers. And I'd hold them up, and she said, you can't knead bread. You can't make bread with dirty hands. Same thing's true with God's work. You say, God, I want. And he says, let me see your hands. I said, God, I need. And he says, let me see your hands. I said, God, bless. And he says, let me see your hands. We've got to keep short accounts with God. As New Testament Christians that are born again and blood bought, you're born anew, born of the Spirit of God, you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you still got to keep your hands clean. Man, you're still working and living in this world, this dirty world in which we live, and you got to have a daily cleansing. You got to have a time where you confess your sins to God, and don't let them pile up. You let them pile up, and pretty soon you're forgetting about them, and they're in the closet, and it's robbing you of so much that God has for you. Be clean, number one. Be committed, number two. Look what it says in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone unto his own way. We have got to be a committed people. We've got to be all in with the Bible. Let me say it this way. This is the year 2019. This is the 21st century. Give yourself to the book. I know the world is tough. Give yourself to the Word of God. Get yourself a copy of the Word of God, King James Bible. Get yourself a copy of it and become a student of the book. Learn. You study this better than you study English. You study this better than you study history. You study this better than you study mathematics. That's pretty easy for me, all right? You get in the Word of God. You'll be a student of the Word of God, and God's going to bless you. Be committed. Again, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I'm remembering the parable of the chicken and the pig and how they loved the farmer and they wanted so much to be a blessing to the farmer. The chicken says to the pig, hey, you know what? Old Farmer Joe, he's being real good to us. What do you say we do something for him? And the pig says, that's a good idea. What do you think we ought to do? He said, I know, let's give him breakfast. Well, all right, let's give him breakfast. That'd be a good deal. What are we going to have? The chicken said, let's have bacon and eggs. And the hog says, wait a minute. For you, it's a donation. For me, it's total commitment. And that's the, we need to be committed to God. I mean, throw caution to the wind. Serve God. We're talking about the Apostle Paul this morning in the adult Sunday school class and how his old friends left him. Saul of Tarsus, when he got saved, the ladder that he was climbing was kicked right out from underneath him. All of a sudden, the other rabbis didn't want anything to do with him. The Sanhedrin, they didn't want anything to do with him. He was their leader, but now they didn't want anything to do with him. And that's what Jesus does when he saves a person. Man, all the old friends, sometimes they'll say goodbye. Total commitment. Remember when you did that when you first got saved? Why did you stop living that way? Be wholehearted, totally committed. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, doeth with thy might. Verse 11, this is important. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. James in chapter 1 and verse 21, would you turn over to the book of James? Oldest book in the New Testament, James 1 and verse 21. You got to be connected to the Word of God. It doesn't happen by way of osmosis where you carry your Bible. You just walk around with it, and somehow it goes up your arm, into your hand, and up your arm, and into your heart, and into your brain. That's not how it works. So somehow, some way, you got to get connected to the Word of God. The Scripture says, memorize the book. You say, Pastor, that's brainwashing. Oh, it's much more than brainwashing. It's soul washing. It's heart washing. It'll change your life. Whatever you spend your time in, that's what you're going to become. If all you're doing is studying textbooks in high school, if all you're doing is studying textbooks from high school graduates that never really got away from school and wrote some university books, if that's all you're studying, that's what you become. If all you're doing is, you know, that's it. So you need to be connected to the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to live the Bible. It needs to ooze out of every opening in your body. You need to have a Bible answer for everything that comes your way. And James in chapter 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. That's a discipline. That meekness, that's disciplined emotions. Receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word of God, which is able to save or deliver your souls. Make the Bible part of your lifeblood. Make it part of your mental being. Make it part of your Bible. We are Fundamental Baptist Church. We are academians of the Word of God. We love the Scripture. It is line upon line and precept upon precept. May it be said from every corner of Chippewa County, if you want to learn the Bible, you go to Fundamental Baptist Church. May that be our testimony. Because you see, this ministry is about Bible preaching and Bible teaching. It's not about singing. Singing is good, but it's about Bible preaching and Bible teaching. It's not about programs. Programs are good. We got programs. We got a school. We got a mission board. We got a camp. We got King's Kids. We've got ladies' meetings. We've got all kinds of programs. It's not about programs. It's about Bible. Line upon line and precept upon precept. And whenever anybody asks me, man, why is Fundamental Baptist Church, why do you get that kind of crowd together? Because people in the 21st century, just like in the first century, are still hungry for the Word of God. Still hungry for God. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Boy, hard for me not start preaching right there, right where we were talking about in Sunday school. Here's a man who was born again, definitely born again, and he writes, I still need to know God. I still need fellowship in his sufferings. I still need to grow in grace. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to be conformable unto his death. Paul had a hunger for God that could not be satisfied until he was in the Bible, until he was in the Scripture. Engrafted Word of God. That would be like in the plant kingdom, taking a limb off of an apple tree and grafting it into a living tree over here, and the limb actually starts getting nutrients from the roots of that tree. We are that limb. We're the branches, Jesus said. He's the vine. And we are to be engrafted into him. And then we get the nutrients right from the Word of God. That's how you're going to make it. You got to get connected to the book. It can't be a cliche. It's got to be reality. Where you open your Bible. You read 4 chapters a day. You'll get through the Bible in a year. 4 a day and 5 on Sunday. Somehow, some way, you just start getting in the Word of God. Listen to the Scriptures. I visited a man a week and a half ago. He had a heart attack. He comes to this church and he lives by himself. And he's a little bit of a rugged guy and so forth. And I was so shocked. I went to visit him at his home and he let me in. I went into his home. Very well kept home. Middle of the day. He wasn't expecting the preacher to come. First time the preacher's ever been to his house. And you know what was playing over a loudspeaker he had in the house? The King James Bible. I thought, wow, that's convicting. You find a way to get connected to the book, connected to the Word of God. Let's go back to Psalm 119. I'm almost out of time. I'm only to point 4. Let me just hit point 4 very, very quickly. I got to keep learning. It says in verse 12, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. We got to keep on growing. That's why Paul said that I might know him, that I might know him. And the only way you're going to keep, he said, teach me the book. Teach me thy statutes. Don't teach me emotions. I got those all by myself. Teach me the Word of God. That's what the psalmist here is saying. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. Be vocal. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 14, be enriched. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches, the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's what Paul said in Ephesians in chapter 3 in verse 18. You could dive into the Word of God, hold your breath, and try to swim all the way to the bottom and touch, and you'll never get there. There's too much. It's overwhelming. It is that good. Starting July the 7th, I start the Sunday night series on the tabernacle. I have never preached on the tabernacle. I'm having so much fun learning about the tabernacle. Oh, I've heard Sunday school lessons about it, and I casually, you know, looked at it a little bit. But now that I'm digging into it, I'll tell you what the tabernacle teaches. Oh, it teaches all kinds of things. But one thing I have realized as I've studied the tabernacle, I've got 8 sermons done so far. It's a Sunday night series starting July the 7th, right on into the beginnings of the fall. But one thing the tabernacle teaches me many, but one thing that jumps out is the authenticity of Scripture. It didn't just happen. No how, no way. You talk about rich. The tabernacle is rich. The authenticity of the Word of God is just jumps off of the tabernacle. God had a plan right from the very beginning. Intricate details of the tabernacle and how it pictures Jesus Christ and how we're to run to Him. Man, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous series, but that's enough for that commercial. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. By the way, salvation is the greatest thing of all. Now hear me, New Testament Christian, you that are born again, there's more. There's more. The riches of the grace of God. Salvation is the greatest thing of all. But there's more. It's just the beginning. You don't get saved more. I'm not trying to teach any kind of false doctrine. I'm just saying God is so big. Your heart will thrill as you become a student of the Word of God. Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Get deeper. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. We don't have time to look at it here this morning, but you need to understand God is deep. He is rich. The greatest and the deepest thought of all for me, and there's so much in the Bible, but just the simple fact that God would love a sinner, that's an amazing thought. You talk about amazing grace, that's it. I know who I am and God loves me. That's beyond human comprehension. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, stinking, vile, corrupt, wretched sinner. And the God of glory, in all of His holiness, sent His only begotten Son to die for this sinner man. That's deep. That is rich. You meditate upon those things. It says in verse 15, I will meditate on thy precepts. That's the Word of God. And meditate. That means like think on, regurgitate. That isn't shifting your brain into neutral and getting involved in some cult. I'm thinking of Clay Hill sitting right here. It was after a prayer meeting. It was after a Sunday night. It was prayer meeting because we were praying right here and Clay was up praying with us. And then I looked up and his mom was coming up to get him because she was so embarrassed. And it was the end of prayer meeting. He was sitting right here with his legs crossed like those Hindu guys do and his arms like this. How old's Clay? 6, 7 years old? I don't know. But Clay King. What did I say? Hill. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is Clay King. That shouldn't offend you. I mean, and Jason's not here this morning. So, all right. So. Tell him he's his daddy's boy, all right? He had his hands, his legs folded, and his hands like this, and he's going, And Jillian's face was all red and said, Clay, get down here right now. What are you doing? He said, I'm medicating. That's what a lot of those people are doing, by the way. There's just too much medication going on. That's what it is. David said, meditate upon the Word. In other words, you hide God's Word in your heart. You read it, you study it, you're a student of the book, and all day long you're thinking about that passage. And then the Holy Spirit, you're given the Holy Spirit ammunition. So when you need it during the week, later on, He brings that passage to your mind. And you think on it. You say, man, that's God prepared me for this. That's good. You aren't going to make it without the Bible. You're not. You need the Word of God. In the last verse, verse 16, He says, I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You'll be happy. You know the peace of God. Great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. That's a great way to live, connected to the Word of God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.